This week's Parsha is Parsha Shmos. Before we begin, I just wanted to dedicate the Torah learning for the Refuah Shlema of Chaim Baruch ben Rachel Malka. Chaim should be blessed with a complete recovery, a Refuah Shlema Bekarov. So we begin Sefer Shmot, the book of Shmot, the book of Exodus, and we begin a period called Shovim. Shovim is an acronym for the 6 weeks of reading the Exodus story, Shmos Va'era Bo B'Shalach Yisro Mishpatim. So for 6 weeks we spend, starting with this week of the beginning of the dark period of slavery. We then experience the 10 plagues, the Jewish people coming out of Egypt, and ultimately culminates with us coming to Mount Sinai with the revelation, receiving the Torah. So the idea of Shovim is that as we go through this experience of reading the story, that it's not supposed to be some kind of just some kind of historical reading of historical events, but rather we're supposed to re-experience what occurred. And the idea of going through this process is, while we do this and while we experience the darkness and then the salvation, that it's supposed to be a time for growth, it's a time for introspection, and ultimately to make ourselves better people and to get closer to Hashem. So I wanted to look at the parasha and just look at a couple of ideas that come out that perhaps can be, you know, things that we can take to heart and help us in this process. So the first thing that really pops out is that the book and the parasha are called names. It's the book of names. And it starts out with exactly that. It tells us that Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, they come down with Yaakov and his house. They come down to Egypt. Yosef is in Mitzrayim. And then the Torah tells us that Yosef died and all of his brothers and the whole generation. And then we see this beginning of the process of the darkness. But in the process of the description of the process of the Jewish people being thrown into servitude, into slavery, something very interesting happens. It's a very subtle thing, but it's clearly a message that the Torah is giving us. And that is that all of a sudden names disappear. The Torah gives us descriptions of people, but doesn't really use their name. So it tells us that a new king arose in Egypt who didn't know Joseph, and then he comes up with this diabolical plan of dehumanization. The Ramban, Nachmanides, describes it. And if you read it, it's pretty frightening because it's almost the playbook of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, where there's a slow process of discrediting and then dehumanizing to then get us to that point where, how could you ever put these people who did so much good for you, throw them into slavery or to throw them into the death camps? So that's what happens here. But what's interesting is the Torah then completely strips out the names. What happens is, first example, the king of Egypt tells the midwives, the Jewish midwives, and then it refers to them as Shifra and Pua. Rashi explains that Shifra and Pua, that's not their names, that's the nickname. They cooed at the babies, but this is Yocheved and Miriam. It's Moshe's mother and sister. But it doesn't refer to them by name. It gives us a nickname for them. And Pharaoh decrees or tells them, he commands them that they have to go and they have to kill the male babies. And incredibly, these women are, they have incredible connection to God, and they stand up to Pharaoh and they do not comply with the edict. And then Pharaoh comes up with this idea of then making this into a decree across the board. First, he tried to do it discreetly, and then we see that it becomes a decree throughout Egypt that the male childs have to be killed, thrown into the Nile. Next thing we have is a man from the house of Levi takes the daughter of Levi. There's no name. Who is this? This is Amram, Moshe's father, and his mother, Yocheved, bat Levi. And then they have a child. Doesn't give him a name. They have to hide him for 3 months. Then, when it gets too dangerous, they ultimately put him into the Nile River in a small little ark. And then it says that the daughter of Pharaoh goes down, and you have the sister standing from afar. No names. Continues on this story. But then again, we have this incredible bravery. The daughter of Pharaoh takes the child out, recognizes it as a Jewish child, and with incredible courage, decides that she's going to raise this child. And then ultimately, for the first time through the story, we finally have a name. Vatikra Shemo Moshe. Bat Paro is the one who gives Moshe the name. And in a sense, it's at this point that it's really the seeds, the beginning of our salvation. And so the Torah takes out the names, which is an indicator of a darkness, of a loss of identity, in a certain sense, of what's going on, the totality of the Jewish people, as they're thrust into this difficult period. And then beautifully, we see the incredible courage and bravery of Yocheved and Miriam, Shifra and Pua, and then the daughter of Pharaoh, who's called Batya, the daughter of God. So here you have these three women who stand up in the face of this horrible, diabolical plan, and they each are able to stand up and save the lives of countless children, and specifically the life of Moshe, who becomes the one who saves the Jewish people. And then the Torah tells us about Moshe's maturation, the fact that he had to run away because of fear of being killed by Pharaoh, because he was squealed on, so to speak. And then we have the famous story of Moshe at the burning bush. And in that story, again, the idea of names comes up. Because Moshe, when God tells him that he's going to save the Jewish people and take them out to Mount Sinai, that Moshe turns and says, "So what name? Who should I tell them has sent me?" And God says, "Eya Asher Eya, I will be that which will I be, which will I will be." Which is the name is a very interesting name, but for our purposes here, God can identify himself as anything. He could have said, "I am the creator of the world. I am many different things." But he says here, in the context of salvation, "Eya Asher Eya, I will be with you. I will be with you now, and I will be with you at all times." That when you go through difficulties, Hashem, here in this dark period, identifies himself as the one who is with us. So, in the context of this parsha, of the beginning of the darkness and the ultimate salvation, the seeds are being planted. As we go into this period of time of the Shovim, as we re-experience this process, a couple of takeaways is the idea, first and foremost, as we watch the bravery of Yocheved, Miriam, and Bat Paro, Batya. The incredible bravery that they were able to stand up against this tyrant, this horrible person, and these edicts, they were able to, with incredible courage, they were able to come through and do the right thing, and at the risk of their lives. So this idea that we should learn to see that we are capable of tremendous, tremendous courage. But secondly, also this idea of identity. That as we go through these processes of difficulty, that it's a process. It's to help us become something greater, to be able to develop ourselves and develop our identities. And so the Exodus story is about the development of names, of shmos. And so too Hashem, as he comes into this process, as he puts himself into the process, Moshe turns to him and says, "Who are you? How should I identify you?" "I am. I'm always there with you." Hashem is telling us, "I'm here with you now at the time of this story. And whenever there's difficulty, hey, Yasha, I'm always there with you." That is something that we need to always take to heart and to realize that Einod Novado, there's nothing other than God, and he's there. Eya, he's telling us, he's saying, he's speaking to us, I'm here with you. I'm here with you now, and I'm always there with you. So no matter how dark it gets, understand that I'm here with you, and I always will be. And so as we go through this process of re-experiencing this story, our story, that we have to take different lessons and try to bring it into our lives and to realize when we have a difficult day, when we have major challenges that we all face, especially in this crazy time, we have the power to be able to stand up and do the right thing. We are in a process, all of us, each one of us individually and on the macro level as a people, we are in the process of developing and creating an identity. And that's an ongoing story. And number three is that within this development, we have to remember Hashem is speaking to us when he tells Moshe, who are you? Who should I say is sending me? And Hashem says, I'm there. I am there with you. I'll be there with you now, and I'll always be there with you. And that we have to feel that. That's Hashem is speaking to us as we are here now. God is with us. And so no matter how crazy the world gets, we have to stop and always remind ourselves, Hashem is calling us. Let yourself hear it, feel it. He's saying, I'm there with you. And what that being with us is that ultimately all the craziness and all the darkness, there's an underlying goodness that, God willing, we should be able to have revealed to us some very, very soon as the Mashiach comes. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos.